As I think about my years here at St. Matthew's, which have gone by so quickly, many of my fondest memories have taken place downstairs in the kitchen and parish hall, sitting around different tables, hearing your stories and sharing my own. We have laughed together many times, often till we're crying, and we have told and listened to heartbreaking stories that also brought tears to our eyes. We have feasted on foods from around the world and in the process learned about different countries and cultures. We have celebrated weddings, baptisms, and the lives of those who have died. I will never forget all the people here, so many of you who rallied to help us host some of our largest funerals since I've been here, the funeral for Beatrice Skirabanda, Pearl Christensen, and most recently, Keith Ringgold, and all the small touches that added up, the slideshows, the hammer cookies for Keith Ringgold, and the cookies with Norwegian flags on them for Pearl. And for each special occasion, Liz Morrison has come up with the most creative table decorations. From the early years of this church, as Ann Nerland mentioned downstairs at the annual meeting, hospitality has been a central spiritual practice. It's in our DNA. We served at the fair. We had a dining hall there in the 50s, as Ann mentioned. There were many dinners hosted here for the local men's club in St. Anthony Park, also dinners which were fundraisers after the music and the park concerts. And at one point, the church held a pig roast with a real whole pig that Rosa Vuey found somewhere. And they roasted it underground. And I think a lot of the teenagers just held vigil around the pig till it was gone. How many of you were here for that pig roast? I've heard a lot of, okay, heard some stories about that. I hope it was good. And we've served meals at Loaves and Fishes for over two decades, thanks to Ray Dittman's leadership and the leadership of all those who followed him. Thank you. There were a series of international dinners here during Grant's tenure to get to know neighbors from different countries and cultures. And at one of them, which took place after 9/11, the owner of Abu Nader, who's a Palestinian, came with his son and talked about what it was like to be someone from the Middle East here in America after 9/11. And that was a really moving event for everyone. Since 2010, we've served dinner on Sunday nights consistently. And this has become the family meal for those of us with no extended family in town. Men, women, and children from different walks of life attend these meals, including neighbors with mental illness challenges who need the food, community, and friendship that they provide. Hospitality and food are at the center of the Christian life. Each Sunday, many of us gather at three tables: the altar table, a table in the parish hall, and a table in our home. Around each table, bread is shared and conversations are sacred. We receive, we share our lives, and we are fed with spiritual food so that we can then go forth and participate in God's healing, reconciling work in the world. At all of these tables, Jesus is both host and guest, as is made clear in today's Road to Emmaus story. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but in the early Christian communities, hospitality was a qualification for leadership. Early Christian writers claimed that transcending social and ethnic differences by sharing meals, homes, and worship with persons of different backgrounds was proof of the truth of the Christian faith. While hospitality was an important tradition in the ancient world, the distinctive Christian contribution was including the poor and neediest members of society at your table, those who could not return the favor. Most people in Greco-Roman society invited only friends, family, and those who provided valuable social connections. But the earliest Christians, following Jesus' teachings, believed that when they sat down for a meal with widows, orphans, the poor, prisoners, and the hungry, they were sitting down with Jesus himself. For many years, we have been learning more together about the spiritual practice of hospitality, and even more important, practicing it. In our homes, workplaces, at church, and through ministries like Project Home, Loaves and Fishes, the Blue House Boutique, and the Sunday Night Dinner, we have welcomed, fed, and communed with so many people from different walks of life. In the process, we have experienced a taste of God's kingdom, a kingdom where diversity and difference are valued, but also part of a larger whole that brings people together in God while not erasing what makes each person unique. Philip Halley, an ethicist who spent years studying the human capacity for evil and good, states that hospitality is the opposite of cruelty. There has been a lot of cruelty in our country and world lately. A lot of nastiness, shaming, and fear. The practice of Christian hospitality is, I would argue, one of the best ways to resist hate, division, and exclusion. For Christian hospitality offers a generous welcome to everyone without concern for advantage or benefit to the host. Such hospitality reflects God's greater hospitality that welcomes the undeserving, provides the lonely with a home, and sets a banquet table for the hungry. When you sit down for a meal, you recognize your common humanity with others. No one is above or below anyone else. The table is the great equalizer. Over the last 12 years, thanks to so many of you, I have seen just countless people welcomed at St. Matthew's. So many visitors and students who were only with us for a brief while. They were welcomed warmly and incorporated into our communal life for whatever amount of time they were here. I receive letters and emails from some of them, and many remember their time with us as a very special period in their lives, a period that was formative spiritually and personally. One of them, a woman who emailed me just last week, came here as a bouncy student in overalls 12 years ago. Very soon, she will be taking vows in an Episcopal monastic community. Those of you who attended the annual meeting were presented with an exciting new vision for our kitchen, our lift, and our parish hall. It's a vision which will enable us to deepen our practice of hospitality with all who join us and neighbors with whom we share this building. It's been 20 years since we last made any significant changes to this building. And that was intentional. I wanted to make sure we went deeper spiritually before we did any discernment about what God might be calling us to do with this building. In 1997, a brave team led by Gary Johnson and Mike Christensen presented the congregation with a vision for the St. Matthew's building. It included a library, two youth rooms, and a parish hall art gallery. The vision and making it a reality felt like a huge leap of faith. But they took that leap, and here we are today. The ministries and opportunities that the library, the two youth rooms, and the parish hall art gallery provide are an important part of who we are in God today. And I can't imagine St. Matthew's without them. Now it is our moment, our time, to play a role in shaping the present and the future of hospitality at St. Matthew's. The plan that Ann Nerland and Mike Christensen presented downstairs, and that we will be happy to show any of you who are unable to make the annual meeting, will deepen our hospitality ministry and foster new relationships and opportunities. It will help to create the spaces and moments in which God can be known in the breaking of bread, upstairs and downstairs. Our first scripture lesson, the story of Abraham and Sarah and the three visitors they received so graciously in the desert, provides a wonderful closing image for us today. In welcoming these visitors, in giving them the best that they had, God was present, and Abraham and Sarah both received a promise and a blessing. May we follow in Abraham, Sarah, and Jesus' footsteps, and in the process, participate in God's hopeful vision for human flourishing. Amen.